Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking. This is Long Island News Radio 103.9. Thanks for listening. I'm talking to Ken Bain. Ken Bain is the head of the Independence Party for the town of Huntington, I believe it is.
That's correct. I'm chairman of the town of Huntington's Independence Party.
Okay, and in that time when you've been, this is a relatively new party.
Yeah, 1994, I believe it was established.
Were you the first?
I was its first vice chairman. I was the first, one of the first officers, and I was on the executive committee for the county when it first started. And then the chairman of Huntington's Independence Party had resigned, and then I became its chairman in 1998.
So this party has grown.
Oh yeah, I think it's the third largest party in the state of New York.
Now, I've been reading things in the newspapers where they look at you as an interference, and certain people look at you as an interference. Why? Well, I'm not going to ask you to tell me why, because that's their opinion,
right,
and you're not going to know that opinion necessarily.
Right.
But your impact on a race, you believe it's significant, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the Independence Party has probably been the deciding factor in a lot of races on Long Island throughout the last 16 years that I've been chairman.
But suppose I'm a Republican, and I'm a conservative Republican, and I see a guy who I like, and I'm going to vote for him, but I'm really annoyed with the Republican Party at this particular point,
right,
and I vote on the Independence line. Isn't that the same vote he would have gotten?
It is, but the issue is there are people who have difficulty because of their politics pulling a lever, or we don't do that anymore. We fill in a circle on a line where we majority don't agree with, but we like a guy. So we'll vote for example, if you're a Republican, Steve Israel, who's my congressman, and he'll get a vote from Republicans on the Independence Party line because they can't do it. They can't bring themselves to pull it for Democrat because they don't like Nancy
Pelosi.
Because
it's not in the catechism.
Whatever, yeah. And that is a safe place for people to go.
My brother's very conservative. Mm-hmm. He writes to me these things that I don't agree with. And I wrote back to him the other day. I says, I wrote a big R on my email.
Right.
R equals good. D equals bad. That's the catechism. Now, my catechism, right, and I said, well, I don't have a catechism. Doggone it, I have to think.
Right. Well, one of the things when as chairman, and we have an executive committee, and we're considering choosing a candidate who is either Democrat or Republican, or and the option of running our own candidate, we have actually, as a committee, opted for cross-endorsing, which is one of the things we can do in this state, a candidate running for office. So because unlike the Conservative Party, which has a specific issues and items and agendas that are easily identifiable by their name, the Conservative Party, they naturally align with the Republican Party.
You could almost do a word association.
You can almost do it, exactly. It's very, there are a few Democrat conservatives or conservative Democrats, but they do exist. I mean, Lou DeMauro, I believe, ran with the conservative line, and he represents parts of Huntington, and he was a Democrat conservative party member.
Democrat conservative.
Right.
But
when
that's a pretty
the Independence Party has an endorsement, you can't naturally assign it to the left or to the right of the political spectrum.
Well, let's take somebody who's probably on social issues, on probably more to the left, on physical issues more to the right.
Right.
Now, I could be championed by the Conservative Party by that measurement.
Until they asked you about abortion, then.
Yeah, and that's a crazy thing, you know, because we're supposed to be, if we're conservatives, we're supposed to be less government, then. Isn't that more government?
No, because they would argue that it's more government by imposing a rule about that. And they're wanting government out of our lives and let people make their own decisions.
Not exactly. What they're saying is we don't want abortion, and we want that to be a matter of law.
No, I think what they're saying is their belief system is that abortion is murder, and that murder is illegal.
Okay, we're not going to go too far with this.
I got you.
But
I know that's a conservative point of view.
Yeah, well, it's not yours necessarily. And,
right.
and I respect that you're trying to be a voice for somebody who's not in the room.
Right.
And you know, and they have a legitimate voice, but
right.
I think that if you're really for small government, it's really not a bad
and that's
position.
More of a, and that's more of a libertarian point of view. And we've seen a lot of people who think like you join not only to the Independence Party, which has a little bit more say and power because we have a ballot line, where the libertarians do not yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, even I want to qualify my fiscal conservatism. There are things that I want to spend money on.
Okay.
I want to spend money on basic research. Because basic research is what makes a businessman come in and say, holy mackerel, I know what that could be used for. And then license it, pay the taxpayers back a little money. They'll never pay it all back because it just doesn't work that way. But at least they have a product that they can make businesses function with and make maybe life a little easier or a little more efficient or whatever it is because somebody did the basic research. Business, by and large, does not do basic research. What they do is take known things and make better things.
Or some do take risk.
Even doing that, though, is a risk because
right.
you're taking the theory and moving it into the reality.
You're investing into it, and hopefully it'll pay off.
And you're saying, I hope people like this and
right.
buy it. So they are risk takers at some level.
Yes.
So, you know, and I appreciate that, and I want that to be, always to be, and I always want that big incentive to be there.
The problem is that when government gets involved in that, the risk becomes greater in some cases, and it becomes actually a deterrent to taking that risk because of government's involvement, with whether it's regulations,
give me an
taxations.
Example.
An example would be, trying to use the efficiency standards with fuel and applying it to homes.
You mean because you can make a car that used to do 15 miles to the gallon is now doing 30, you can make a house go from...
The concern that I have is that you start telling people how they can spend energy. And then what happens is you're preventing companies from earning a profit by reaching out and providing that service at a price for people who can't afford it. You're governing and trying to redistribute the way in which energy is spent by everybody.
I don't know if I buy that as being a great example. But anyways,
it might not be a great example, but I was put on the spot to come up with one. That was
well, when you're told to dance,
right.
You dance. So anyway, I see the value of things like Brookhaven National Laboratories. And, you know, we spent probably $1 billion on thermal earth generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a failure. Does that mean that we shouldn't have done it?
No.
That means we should. What we learned is that there's so many problems involved in it that these are the problems that now have to be solved.
Well, I think
it will work.
New York
eventually.
State right now is facing with energy is the fracking and the going after shale oil and all these other things.
You only have a half an hour. That'll take a day and a half.
Okay. But that would be an example of, you know, where the government is saying, we're going to put so many obstacles in allowing you to do this, and that may be a detriment to those people who are willing to invest in that aspect.
Well, see, I'm from the point of view that we had put enough money into alternative energies because the oil companies have so much sway over who writes the laws and what laws can be written.
But it's some of those same oil companies who are investing and have a vested interest in investing into these alternative things like algae farms.
BP is one of them.
Yeah, I'm saying.
And they're lying through their teeth. they have not produced much at all because oil is very, very lucrative.
And available.
And that's true.
Okay. But they're the ones who will pioneer the alternative things. What I find hypocritical,
and I'm going to be accused after the break,
but the issue is that when somebody says electric is the way to go and don't realize that to produce the electricity, we use a tremendous amount of fossil fuel, that's not a great example.
Exactamente. But there's other alternatives, and we'll get into that someday. This has been a pleasure. This is a friend of mine. His name is Ken Bain. He's been very active in politics, and he's an effective voice and a respected friend. Thank you so much for being with us. This is Ernie Fazio. This is Earnestly Speaking in 103.9 Radio at